Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
Honey, I have some bad news.
Ever since we had that discussion about the stuff my wife found on the computer, she doesn't even trust me to go on the internet anymore.
What's a guy supposed to do? I gotta stare.
What is a guy supposed to do?
I'm Jim Burns. There once was a time in our culture when pornography was limited to books, magazines, and the occasional B-minus movie. Well, not anymore. Porn has gone mainstream. It's seemingly everywhere, on network television, in music videos, and most noticeably, online. Our kids are growing up in a culture where pornography is glamorized, and more kids and adults are becoming hooked. During the next half hour, I want to talk to you about overcoming the consequences of porn addiction. Pastor Daniel Henderson is here with me. He's an incredible man, and he's written a very helpful book on this topic called Think Before You Look. So stay with us. Very important program today on Homeward. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. During the next half hour, you know, sometimes we set up these programs, I say, boy, you're in for a treat. This is definitely not a treat. As a matter of fact, you young children who are listening right now, this is definitely one of those programs where you want to make sure you're going to the podcast or the audio stream at homeward.com, because we're going to be talking with pastor and author Daniel Henderson about an issue that is just really tearing families apart and really leading to the breakdown in the moral decay of society, discussion on overcoming the consequences of porn addiction. And if you need help in this area, I encourage you to go to homeward.com or find help right now. Don't be entertained by a program per se, but with some good information on what you're about to hear. And now with part one of today's program, here's Dr. Jim Burns. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today we're talking about avoiding the consequences of pornography addiction. It's really one of the important, important topics of this generation. We're fortunate enough to have with us Daniel Henderson. He's the senior pastor of Grace Church of Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and has written a great book called Think Before You Look, Avoiding the Consequences of Secret Temptations. And it is a great book. I've looked at it over this weekend, and I have really appreciated this book. And Daniel, welcome to our program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Jim. Privileged to be with you.
Well, I've had so much fun talking with you here before the program. I feel like we know each other. And yet we're talking about a subject that's very, very big right now, and unfortunately getting bigger.
Yeah, it's pervasive and it's not going away. So the more we can do to equip people, the better.
Well, you say that research indicates that maybe up to 60% of Christian men are somehow addicted to pornography. I mean, that's just astounding to me.
It is astounding. And as a pastor, it floors you to look out on that crowd on Sunday morning and realize the depth of the struggle that these men are facing.
Well, I was telling you earlier that I had done a marriage conference this last weekend, and just a part of it talking about purity and fidelity. And actually, I was moving toward the issue of boundaries, but I mentioned pornography. And when I mentioned pornography, it got quiet. And people then came up to me later and said, boy, you know, I've struggled with this, or I caught my husband. And there was great shame with this. Do you see that when people, you know, finally kind of confess to you that they've been struggling with it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and in the book, we talk about the consequences. There is great shame. And what's going to happen to the marriage relationship if it comes open? And you bring it up in a conference or in a congregation, and the women, they're wondering, well, is it my husband? Is it my teenage son? Is it my child? What's the exposure? So it touches everyone in the family at a very deep level.
Well, when you think about it, the next time there's a congregation of people, work, whatever, you go 1-2, 1-2, 1-2, when you're looking at men, that's a pretty devastating addiction. I mean, help us understand what does it mean to be addicted to pornography?
Well, yeah, again, it's a process like any addiction, but it's the point at which you can't quit, you know, and I cite some research in the book from the University of Pennsylvania that says addiction to pornography is harder to break than addiction to cocaine, because you can remove the substance with cocaine. As you know, with pornography, the substance, in a sense, is always there because of the power of the imagination. You get rid of your computer, everything else, but it's always there.
Well, I was actually sharing an illustration with somebody privately this week about it, and I was saying when I was in eighth grade, and I've been very, very privileged, even before I became a Christian, to not be involved in this, you know, horrendous thing. Yeah. But I can remember a picture from National Geographic, eighth grade,
oh,
junior
sure,
high.
Oh, sure, yeah, the natives was, from exactly. Timbuktu or whatever it was.
And I'm a lot older than junior high, but I still have that picture in my mind. Now I'm thinking about kids and men especially, but women is involved too. They have multi pictures just basically now implanted in their brain.
Yeah, this isn't your father's pornography anymore. This stuff is unbelievable. And as I cite in my book, the average exposure now for young boys for the first time is at 5 years of age. Well, you look at the next generation and what this does to set a hook in their soul and to taint their view of women. And we have to stay on top of this issue with all of our might in helping people through it.
Yeah, that's why I appreciate so much what you're talking about. Now, at the same time, there's something that was fascinating that I got in your book kind of at the beginning. You were quoting a porn site operator who you said spoke very truthfully about the industry. And I thought this was fascinating because I don't usually hear it this way. And I want you to comment on this statement. They said, porn comes down to this. We women are exploiting men's weaknesses. You're handing me your credit card. I'm not a victim. I'm exploiting you.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Well, again, that's representing the industry, the men and women who are making money hand over fist. We've all heard the stats about the amazing income levels of this industry. And they recognize that there's a weakness here. And as we exploit it, it's going to mean cash in the bank for us.
And when you say cash in the bank, one of the things that, you know, again, just hit me as I was looking over your book was that a porn addict is also a man perhaps spending a large amount of time feeding his addiction, but it's costing him a lot of money as well.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And that's one of the consequences that, you know, we don't want to be stewards of our money in this way, our time, you know, our energy. And it is. I have a personal friend. I talk about him in the book, spent $250,000 on internet pornography, wound up having an affair with a lady in another country. The Lord has salvaged their marriage, but you talk about a painful, grueling process that will leave scars for many, many years to come.
Well, scars for many years, but sometimes even scars for generations, because sometimes kids, and you talk about this later, and I want to get to it again, but kids sometimes will view their dad's pornography, and now you're building a legacy of people who are struggling with this addiction.
Exactly. For boys, you know, you're just helping them set the hook of addiction into their own life. It was okay for dad, it's okay for me. But for girls, it affects their view of themselves, you know. That the shame and the sense of just being an object to be used. And girls who discover their father's pornography habit carry scars as well.
Try to help our female listeners understand how pornography could be so addictive to men.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a chemical reality. I was just talking to a counselor over the weekend who works with people in this arena. And once you get into the pattern of activating those endorphins and the other chemistry of the brain, it's like a drug. But of course, the God-given desire to connect in intimacy, stimulated by the visual beauty of a woman, is a wonderful thing. And yet the enemy knows how to take advantage of that. And again, if a marriage isn't right or a man has something in his background, he just is very vulnerable to begin to go down that slippery slope.
Really, the word is vulnerability, because people sometimes, if they're tired or if they're angry at their spouse or whatever, they'll begin to go into this, not because they were actually looking for porn, but they now are doing that because it's a way of handling whatever their other hurts are.
Yeah, it's an escape, and it's the devil's easy alternative to avoiding the real solutions of the heart. And as you know, Jim, I mean, in our day and age when we grew up, you had to work hard to find pornography. I mean, you know, I had friends who'd have to dig through the trash in the alley to find it.
Right.
Today, you have to work hard to avoid it, and so it really does prey upon the vulnerabilities of the heart.
One of the statements that you made in your book was you said, pornography is an incredibly powerful incentive to a lifestyle of lies. If a man is caught in the deception of pornography, is it fair to assume that there are probably other areas of deceit in their life as well?
Yeah, I make the statement that the bedfellow of porn is lying. You got to cover up so much of it, whether it's the stuff you have to do on your computer to make up for what you've done or the excuses you have to make with your family. And that's one of the positive benefits, of course. You avoid porn, you cultivate a lifestyle of truthfulness, and that's a beautiful thing.
You begin the book talking about God's double-edged promise from, I believe it's Galatians 6, 7, and 8.
Yep.
How does this promise apply to the sin of pornography?
Well, again, the reality is everything we do is part of that process of planting and reaping, planting and reaping. I make the statement that, you know, you always reap what you sow, usually more than you sow and always later than you sow. The lie of this, of course, is that it's a victimless sin and it really doesn't matter that I'm doing it. I'm not hurting anybody. This book talks about the fact that's not true and there are 40 better choices to make. But every time you make a choice, a better choice, you are resisting the power of temptation and growing in godliness. And so you're choosing the field into which you're going to sow every time you have to make this decision, and how important it is to think about that before you look.
Well, there's a lot of people who really are hopeless. And what you're saying is you don't have to remain hopeless. There really are answers to this incredible addiction, even if they're already down that path pretty far.
Oh, that's exactly right. And of course, there are a lot of resources out there. But Jim, as a pastor, what motivated me to write this book is seeing men in the context of a local church delivered from a lifestyle of addiction through the power of prayer and accountability and the renewal of the mind. And there are a lot of men who think, I'll never get out of this. There's an opening poem in the book where the guy says, if only I knew how to stop this madness before it starts again. That's how so many men feel. But there are 40 reasons why you can be empowered to make a better choice tomorrow when you face this challenge.
The power of prayer, accountability, and the renewal of the mind. That sums up the direction we need to be going.
Yeah, it really does.
And not just for pornography, but for any aspect of life.
Well, yeah, I say in here, the hardest thing about the Christian life, I say it all the time in my pastoral ministry, is that it is so daily. Trent Dilfer, football quarterback, wrote the foreword, and he says the thing with porn is it's so hourly. And you're only going to win the battle an hour at a time, a decision at a time, and a thought at a time. And it is so pervasive. We're not going to win this battle on the technological front or the political front. We've got to win it inside. And this is all about giving guys tools to make a better choice.
Sounds a little bit like what Jesus said, live one day at a time. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Daniel Henderson. We're talking about avoiding the consequences of pornography addiction. And if you know somebody, and I guarantee you do, I would suggest that you listen carefully to Roger as he talks about this great book. It's called Think Before You Look, Avoiding the Consequences of Secret Temptation. Don't go away. I'm Jim Burns. Much more to come on Homeward.
Well, Think Before You Look is the kind of resource that guys need. Pornography is everywhere in the culture. A lot of times we still think of it as the guy going to the red light district and buying a magazine or a movie, but it's all over the internet. It's all over television. It's in mainstream motion pictures now. You can't get away from it. And it's impacting both men and women. One way that we as a culture are going to get healed up is when guys especially take the lead in this area and say, we're not going to consume it anymore. We're not going to give into this. And Daniel Henderson has given us a lot to think about. This book, Think Before You Look, is one that Dr. Jim Burns highly recommends. And you can learn more about it when you visit our online resource center at homeward.com. Also go to the articles and media section too, and just type in pornography in the keyword section, and you'll find a number of different tip sheets that we've prepared to help you work through this very issue. Some of the writings of Fred Stoker and much more you'll find at homeward.com. And now let's continue with the conclusion of today's edition of the Homeward broadcast. Here once again, Dr. Jim Burns. We're talking today about avoiding the consequences of pornography addiction, and maybe you were listening and you said, you know, we're going to stop and just listen to the rest of this because it is so important to where I think we're going in our homes, in our families, with our children, with ourselves, and actually in America. Daniel Henderson is my guest. He's the senior pastor of Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. It's actually a great church. It's one of these mega churches in the Minneapolis area that is doing great and glorious things for God. He's also the president of Strategic Renewal. It's a ministry specializing in personal renewal, congregational revival, and leadership restoration. He's married to Rosemary for almost 25 years, and they have three children. As we were talking about pornography, Daniel, one of the things that you said in your book that really caught my attention was you said that the most costly trade-off for entanglement in sexual sin is the violation of a love relationship with God. Talk about it.
Yeah, that's the very first reason to avoid it because, again, it, just like the devil, he's always trying to offer us an empty alternative. And as you know, you've had enough guests on your program. This is all about that search for a deep, abiding intimacy that meets the soulical need of an individual. Pornography is a false promise of connecting without any commitment, any relationship. And it is, as some authors have called it, a false intimacy. But it is a cheap alternative to the ultimate intimacy, the satisfaction of soul that God wants to give us in himself. And that's the hardest trade-off about this whole thing.
Well, you know, when you use the word false intimacy, sometimes we have a false intimacy with God. Oftentimes we have a false intimacy with the opposite sex. And definitely, you know, pornography is that way. But a lot of the people, once they kind of get into it, at least the ones who end up talking to me, feel incredible remorse and shame. And they want out. And it's almost like the alcoholic yeah. maybe more so, as you'd mentioned, yeah. where they really do want out, but they feel dirty. That's the dirty part of their life.
Yeah. Well, I mentioned earlier that one of the big myths is that it's a victimless sin. And the second one is the shame and the secrecy of it that has to be broken. As you know, when men are able to open up with other men, that's the dynamic I've seen, Jim, over the years as a pastor. We have what we call prayer summits, 3 days of just worship and prayer. And men get real with each other. And when they do, they suddenly realize, you know, this isn't just my problem. The enemy's strategy is to make you think you're worse than everybody else. He's the accuser of the brethren. You're never going to get out of this. If you were dare to talk about it. I was with the pastor this weekend who has been on national programs talking about his addiction and how freeing that has been for him, for his family, his wife, to help others. So,
in that sense, he's been able to talk about it. He's also putting some pressure on himself in terms of good pressure with accountability, because if he says, I have struggled with this, then people are going to watch him closely.
They sure are.
And so accountability is one of the real key issues in trying to overcome this incredibly difficult addiction.
That's exactly right. You know, I mean, I wrote a book on it. Now, right. I've never been addicted to it. Right. People say, do you struggle with pornography? I say, well, I never buy it, but it's always in my mind. You know, sure. You never can get beyond that. Right. Every one of us has that. But yeah, there is an accountability. Right. But again, that's what we all need. We're not flying solo in this life. It's right. part of the body of Christ. Right. And that's how important it is to be honest and accountable and authentic with some other yeah. brothers in your life.
And I say that all the time here on this program, that we've got to be in an accountability relationship. I actually have a group that I had this morning, and then I also am in another relationship with one individual where we basically say, you know, what is our sin bent? Is there any sin that has set the hook? You used that term earlier. How am I approaching women in any kind of negative way, as well as many other issues? And I feel safer. Now, I could lie to them, and I know friends who have been in small
sure.
groups and have done it. But I feel like I have a place of safety that I can say something to that person. And I don't think most men do that.
Yeah, I agree. I remember all the questions and the processes we try to create to get people to be accountable. But right. as you say, you could lie through all 7-8 questions every right. week if you want to. But right. it's developing a demeanor of authenticity and transparency that is the ultimate accountability. Right. Whereas you invite enough men into your life who know you well to look into the eye and know whether you're telling right. the truth or not. And that's right. a choice we have to make. But it's ultimately for our good and the good of the people around us.
Exactly. Now, I'm thinking about a woman who might be listening, and she says, you know what, I think my husband, I don't know, but I think my husband, and I've asked him, but I'm not really computer literate, and so I really don't know what's going on. What do you say to that woman? What kind of advice would you give her?
Well, you've had other guests on, I know, who talk about this, but there are telltale signs, you know, the withdrawal, the lack of intimacy, lack of communication, you know, just funny behavior, covering things up on the computer, And I think she needs to create an environment, like we just mentioned before, of saying to her husband, you know, honey, there's a lot of men I know who struggle with this. I want you to know I love you no matter what you're going through. And yet, if this is an issue for you, I really hope you'll talk to me about it. Yeah, it'll be hard on me, but for the sake of our marriage, our kids, let's be sure that this is not an issue that's off limits for us. I think opening that door on a woman's part is a real big deal.
Does she nag him?
Hopefully not. You know, I think that just, again, it compounds the guilt. Mm-hmm. It's not a productive method. I think she just tried to lovingly will continue to work at keeping the door open, keep the communication open, certainly praying that the Lord will reveal it, mm-hmm. will bring it to honesty, and hopefully be in a church where, from the pastor on down, they're open about it, they talk about it, there's help available, and that's very important.
Well, you know, when you think about pornography, and you're saying that 60% of Christian men are possibly addicted to pornography, which is so, again, like I say, astounding, you know, there aren't 60% of the men in the congregation or the women in the congregation who care about the theology of baptism.
Yeah.
And so, not that we shouldn't be talking about baptism, but frankly, we've got to be able to talk about this, because in some ways, this is where the rubber meets the road.
That's exactly right. And that was the genesis of this book. I was doing a series on morality and had, as I told you earlier, done 40 reasons why I don't want to commit adultery as a pastor. And I thought, you know, there's got to be 40 issues related to pornography. And it's given me occasion in our church to talk about it, to get men involved with one another in their lives. And it is. It's a pervasive, Craig Gross, who grew up in my church, they did the Porn Sunday thing here right. a while back. We'll continue to do that. So I think we've just got to dispel the secret, even in our churches, not in a gross way. Certainly warn the families, but we cannot pretend this is not happening.
Well, and it is affecting marriages. I have something in front of me where it says, Richard Berry, president of the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers, said, pornography had an almost non-existent role in divorce just 7 or 8 years ago. Now, according to 2/3 of the 350 divorce lawyers at some meeting he had just recently, internet pornography played a significant role in divorces in the past year, with excessive interest in online porn contributing to more than half. Is that amazing?
Wow. Well, it doesn't surprise me because of what you know the impact is on a relationship. Not only the gradual breakdown of intimacy, but when it is discovered, you know, the feelings the wife has of not measuring up to right. these airbrush models and of being rejected and of wondering what's he been thinking about all this time when we're having our relationship. And yeah, it's got horrendous ramifications.
Betrayal.
Yeah.
They feel betrayed, yep. don't they?
That betrayal, just, rejection, shame. Yeah. I had a man come up to me this weekend at a conference, and he said, you know, one thing you ought to address is how it's affecting the young girls of our society, the bulimia and anorexia, right. Because of the shame they feel of not measuring up to this idyllic image that is primarily being fueled by the pornography industry.
No, you're exactly right. Talk to us about how a man can actually break free from this horrible, powerful addiction. Give us some hope.
Well, you know, being a pastor, I always have pithy little words. Things start with the same letter sometimes. But I talk about the importance of give up. In other words, you can't solve this on your own. So give up in your own strength, trying to overcome this. Secondly, you need to look up to the only one who can ultimately deliver you. And it's not just as simple as just, you know, praying some magical prayer every day, but really say, God, you have to help me. Then you have to fess up both to the Lord and to others that I do have a problem. And then what I say is gather up, get with some other men and really begin to be honest about the need and use resources. Thank God there are a lot of them out there. You know, we have this one and Bible studies that go with it, but begin to get some tools. Everybody's got to have tools, and to get those tools under your belt in the company of encouraging men to win this battle over the long haul.
Well, I want to encourage our listeners to give up, look up, fess up, and then gather up. And I think a good start would be to get some help. A great day today. Thank you for being with us. I've got to ask you to come back because we've got a lot more questions.
Be delighted to.
And that concludes part one of Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with pastor and author Daniel Henderson here on the Homeward Broadcast. And Daniel has written a challenging book for men called Think Before You Look. This is an issue that's too easy for guys to overlook, and it's everywhere in the culture. There's no escaping it. It used to be, I think about Fred Stoker, Jim, we've had Fred on the program talking about bouncing your eyes and how difficult that is for guys, especially younger men these days, because this is everywhere in the culture. It's in the print media, it's in movies, it's in television, and everywhere you go, and yet we have to overcome this if we're going to be true men of God. And we're so grateful that Daniel Henderson has been with us to give us this food for thought today.
This really was my first time with Daniel, and I like him a lot. Yeah. I think he has a lot to say. I wish I was in Minneapolis. I would go to his church. It just sounds like a great, great place. Internet porn is an epidemic, and it's affecting millions of relationships. It is destroying marriages, and I don't mind to sound too alarmist here because it really has me shook in many ways. I mean, this is an issue that we have to take seriously. I truly appreciate men like Daniel, pastors who aren't claiming to necessarily be internet experts, but they are issuing a stern warning about the dangers of porn addiction, and they're also presenting solutions on how to break it, and they're talking to the people in the church because it's in the church just as well as outside the church. There are literally millions of porn sites, and that translates to hundreds of millions of pornographic web pages. The majority of those viewing porn online are men, but the problem is growing also with women. And if one person in your family is dealing with it, then really the whole family is dealing with it in a big way. I wish I could tell you that your regular church attendance was enough to make this temptation go away. But the fact is that nearly one out of every five people who identifies themselves as a Christian has visited a pornographic site. And maybe it's more even. If you think pornography in your house is not a problem, well, then think again. 90% of kids between the ages of 8 and 16 have viewed some form of pornography online, and 70% of teens have accidentally accessed internet porn in the last few months. In fact, if your child has a MySpace account, then the odds go up much greater because it is so freely available from MySpace. So what does all this mean for you as a parent? Well, let's start with the obvious. Pornography is demeaning. It degrades not only the people who make it, but also those who use it. Dr. Robert Weiss of the Sexual Recovery Institute has gone so far as to call pornography the crack cocaine of sexual addiction. It can have a powerfully negative impact on individuals and families, but there is a hope for recovery, and you can't wish it away. You must do everything in your power to deal with it. And here's Roger with some information about a couple of resources that will help you in this area.
Well, they're both free, and if when you go to homeward.com, you're going to find these tip sheets, actually. Just to go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media section, and then when it says get answers, just type in pornography, and you'll find a tip sheet called Tips for Overcoming Porn Addiction and a variety of other resources that will help you. There are some audio programs that we've done in the past that you'll find in our archives as well that deal with this issue. Experts like Joe Dallas and others talking about how guys can overcome this. Fred Stoker of the Everyman's Battle series is also available too. If you search our radio archives, you will find these programs, and we make them available without cost to you. And the reason we're able to do so is because of your prayers and faithful financial support. So that's how this works. So you pray for us and you give a gift online at homeward.com or write to us with your tax-deductible donation, and a gift of $50, $100, $250 or more goes such a long way toward helping us continue to preserve the integrity of this ministry on air and to help you out. Write to us at Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, the zip code 92693.
Be sure to join me again next time when I'll continue my discussion with Daniel Henderson about overcoming the consequences of porn addiction. It's a very important conversation. Till then, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for listening today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.